The Paris Climate Change Conference in mid-December produced broad global targets for the world to avoid excessive warming for the first time ever. And one of the main sectors that will probably have to deliver significant emission savings for national and overall targets to be met will be the transport sector. The sector has not come up with significant savings so far, and that means the spotlight is now on fuel companies and vehicles manufacturers, among others, to deliver. The European Union took one major claim to the Paris conference late last year. That's the fact that economic growth in the Club of 28 has been achieved in the past years without increased emissions of the greenhouse gases that produce climate change. But one sector stands out as having failed to live up to that claim: transport. For some fuels, like high-performance aircraft fuel, no convincing alternatives have yet been found. And for goods haulage and personal transports, a lot more journeys are being made in today's globalised world, and they have eaten up any efficiency improvements from more efficient vehicles and better performing fuels. Laura Lonza of the European Commission's Joint Research Centre in Brussels, which regularly looks at the options of using different fuels for transport, made the point quite starkly at a conference in Prague last week, charting some of the ways forward.
The reason why the transport sector does not show impressive improvements, if you want, in its entirety, is really due to the fact that transport has been increasing. So demand for transport has been increasing, which has offset the benefits of technological improvements.
But Lonza is not discouraged by the lack of emission savings from the transport section so far. She stresses that fuel options, such as various types of biofuel, have been opened up that simply were not around a decade ago.
There has been substantial improvements in the efficiency of powertrains and vehicles. There has been a development of a new market at the end of the day when it comes to alternative fuels. So now there is a range of opportunities and choices which was not there until fairly recently. So what we may expect over the next 20 years is an increased range of options. Now that range of options needs to be managed as effectively as possible, considering both greenhouse gas emission reductions and efficient use of energy.
To illustrate the importance of choosing the right options, cheap solar power could be used to produce alternative vehicle fuels such as hydrogen or methanol. But instead of using it for that relatively expensive process, it would be probably better all round if it just stayed as electricity and replaced power produced at coal-fired power plants in the Czech Republic or Poland. The Prague conference was being hosted by independent fuel supply companies. These are basically the middlemen traders who don't drill or produce oil or refine it. They buy up fuel and deliver it, and they are commanding an ever greater slice of the European energy market as traditional oil companies retreat from the retail side of the market. Thierry de Mulder is the president of the UPEI grouping of fuel suppliers. He argues that the EU target for a better fuel performance from the transport section for 2030 is already too ambitious, let alone the Paris conference ambition of cutting greenhouse gas emissions by 80% compared with 1990 levels.
I came here from Belgium by car, and when I see the number of cars and trucks on the motorway, I cannot imagine that within 15 years, 40% of reduction of fossil fuels will be really possible to achieve. I don't think that it is possible, so I think it is not realistic. So the fear is not that we are going to lose our business. The fear is that what the objective is not realistic enough. But we know Europe, and probably after Paris, we see that the objectives are changing. When you see how Europe has developed their objectives, well, when they see that it is not possible, they change their objectives. So I think that this will happen here again as well.
The fuel company's bottom line is that oil and other fossil fuels cannot simply be squeezed out of the transport mix within a few decades.
Personally, I think that the electric car is not a real solution. If you take the emissions in order to produce the electric car and the batteries it goes with, if you take that in terms of emissions, well, you are overcoming all the things that we have said already. So this is not a real positive development. The hybrid car, I think that this is something that can work, especially in connection with a gasoline engine. So I think that this is something that has a lot of chance to go. A truck without fossil fuel, I think it's not possible. If you take compressed natural gas or if you take LNG, the cost is so high in order to get that and to transport, to carry that on your truck, that it's a non-go situation. So I think that diesel in trucks will remain. On ships, on airplanes, I have a lot of difficulties to see that we are going to replace the fossil fuel by biofuel.
And it's not surprising that fuel companies appear to believe that a lot of the running on fuel efficiency and emission cuts should be made by car and truck producers. Mr. De Mulder, again.
There is a lot to do in terms of efficiency of the engines. They can consume far more less than what they are doing for the moment. Diesel has been very on top of this efficiency. On gasoline, there is still a lot to do. And I think that this is a very important element. And I think the car industry has to do that because otherwise they are not going to sell their cars anymore. The customers, they want to have something which is more cheaper and more easy to use. The market will force the car manufacturers to produce energy efficiency there.
Car manufacturers are a major factor in the Czech industrial scene, with Škoda Auto, for example, the biggest exporter in the country. Besides Škoda, Hyundai also produce in the country, and there is also the joint venture of Toyota and Peugeot Citroën. And it should come as no surprise that the car manufacturers as a whole believe that European lawmakers are on the wrong track when they seek even greater fuel and emission reductions from new cars. Michal Kadere is head of external affairs at Škoda Auto. He argues that one of the main flaws in the EU strategy towards car companies is that the worst emissions often come from older cars and that these still prevail on markets in Central and Eastern Europe, with tougher new car limits for new cars doing little to improve the overall pollution situation. On the relatively small Czech car market, for example, there are around 5 million passenger cars. But of this total, only around 200,000 new cars are sold and replaced every year. And around 300,000 second-hand cars are being imported every year to the Czech Republic from Western Europe. Michal Kadara.
So actually we're buying the, so to say, RECs. The average age of the old vehicle purchased in Czech Republic is 10 years. So something that on our west borders, the people don't want to use no longer because it's more expensive to repair, it's less ecological, they can't commute in the city center. We're just buying it here because of also regulation, because of a big political problem, at least of the EU10, the new city countries, to really regulate and ban the import of old cars. And what happens with the yet older cars? We're just freely selling it to the east. So we will have, at a certain point, a cleaner Europe, but we will just, you know, shift the emissions to the east. So on a global scale, that might not be that effective. You know?
So far, Škoda Auto has been fairly slow to offer alternative fuel models and has not rolled out any electric cars so far. The main emphasis has been on mixing conventional fuels with compressed natural gas or CNG.
We believe that for the time being, for the next few years, before electromobility becomes a yet bigger and cheaper topic, CNG is a very good alternative. We have two models that are fueled by CNG. That's the smallest city car. The car is quite unique by combining a gas tank and the CNG tank. So altogether, you can do a wonderful mileage of 620 kilometers with the production of 79 grams. If you like more space, the Škoda Octavia, our bestseller, is combining 50 liters fuel pump, that's a full range tank, with 15 kilograms of CNG, which gives you close to 1,000 kilometers on a tank.
Škoda Auto says that such cars are not that much more expensive than conventional petrol or diesel models. whereas an electric car would be around 2 or 2.5 times at least the cost of such a model. But the Czech manufacturer is nonetheless looking at rolling out hybrid electric cars, perhaps from 2019. The first model to get such treatment could be the top-of-the-range Superb, with the next the large SUV, which Škoda Auto is preparing now for production. The details of the policy have still to be fully worked out in concert with parent company Volkswagen, which so far has taken the lead with electric cars in the group.